It was Blanche in Tennessee Williams' play, Streetcar Named Desire, who said she lived in the kindness of strangers. Let's flip that around. How do we treat those who are not strangers? How do we treat family members, co-workers, members in our congregation, the people we meet and greet each day? We have all experienced domestic scenes where tempers flare, work venues where nerves are frayed, situations in which we say and do things we come to regret. We have all been there. We have all experienced the unraveling of human civility in our society, the crudeness of language, our growing impatience with each other, and people, sometimes ourselves, get hurt. There's a breakdown in human relations. Often it seems we are more criticized than praised, more taken to task than to lunch, more scolded than celebrated, more knocked about than boosted up. What is more, I'm guilty of these very sins. There is a new churchgoer who has the audacity on the first Sunday to criticize my sermon. Inside, I dismiss him or her as a curmudgeon. I fail to see what is behind the criticism. And more important, I do not really know who is behind the criticism, because I haven't made the effort to know them better. There is every man and every woman whom I judge without compassion, criticize without knowledge, condemn without piety. It's as if I walk by the person who lies hurt and bleeding on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, fashioning my own rationale for not helping. Fashioning my own rationale for not helping. It seems to me that whatever our theology, the very heart of religion is about the way we treat one another. Justice, mercy, and love are spiritual values. Writer and newspaper publisher Harry Goldman once asked his father, "If you don't believe in God, why do you go to the synagogue so regularly?" His father answered, "Jews go to synagogue for all sorts of reasons. My friend Garfunkel, who is Orthodox, goes to talk to God. I go to talk to Garfunkel. And whether we talk to God or not, we do talk to each other." As a Unitarian Universalist, I think I understand my tendencies to judgmentalism. It's a theological issue. No matter how much we protest, the fact remains that we have inherited our liberal religion from the Puritan tradition of the 16th and 17th centuries. That tradition worried not only that someone somewhere was having a good time, but also worried about human perfection. The Puritans were judgmental people. Morality was strict. Everyone was accountable. Standards were godly. In the intervening years, we have changed the theological language. We don't talk much about piety. We're a bit more relaxed about human behavior, and we don't claim our standards. We're directly dictated by God. However, that same inner urge to perfectionism is still in us. We tend to want things just so. We have a hard time abiding with the messiness of existence, and messy it is. There is a parable of a man who fell into a pit and couldn't get himself out. A subjective person came along and said, "I feel for you down there." An objective person came along and said, "It's logical that someone would fall down there." A Pharisee said, "Only bad people fall into a pit." A mathematician calculated how he fell into the pit. A news reporter wanted an exclusive story on his pit. A fundamentalist said, "You deserve your pit." A self-pitying person said, "You haven't seen anything until you've seen my pit." A charismatic said, "Just confess you're not in a pit." An optimist said, "Things could be worse." A pessimist said, "Things will get worse." And then, depending on your religious persuasion, Moses, Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad, Albert Schweitzer, Martin Luther King Jr., or Susan B. Anthony, seeing the man, took him by the hand and lifted him out of the pit. We have overactive minds, which from time to time do not let the heart have its say. We are, by and large, successful people in the world. We work and we work hard. We are driven by our task mentality. After all, our theology is not salvation by faith in the next world, but salvation by works in this world. We are impatient to complete those tasks. We are impatient with those who interfere with them. I could be wrong, but I suspect many of us complain and scold far more than we cheer and praise. Somehow, the cool rationalism of Unitarianism, valuable a religious tool as it is, controls the warm heart of Universalism, as necessary a possession as it is. And Universalism, as most of you know, was built upon the theology of universal salvation. Ultimately, all will be forgiven, no matter what our sins happen to be. Try that on for size right now and forgive Putin. Life's complex, isn't it? And then there is the soft side to universalism in contrast to the hard edge of Unitarianism. Now, I am not advocating a wholesale retreat from critical reason, accepting all people uncritically, forgiving all sins. But I am advocating a much more nuanced approach to other people. I still tend to think we see people from a perspective that is much too narrow. That is to say, we tend to judge people in stereotypical ways. We are in danger of falling prey to self-fulfilling prophecy. When we expect people to be unpleasant, we treat them that way and they tend to respond in kind. So we were right. They're unpleasant. As in studies of school children, teachers' expectations were a major factor in their achievement. Higher expectations meant higher achievements. Lower expectations brought lower achievement. We all know people who we tend not to like. What I have discovered, however, is that if I allow myself to get to know them at a deeper level, and this is my own experience, there is always, I mean always, something to like and to admire. It has been said that judging people is like reading a book. Only if people are books, They're mysteries. We are all multi-layered, psychologically tangled, emotionally intricate beings. Everyone is having a hard time. Give people a break. It's not easy doing a life. Years ago, the American psychologist Gordon Allport suggested six criteria that marked the mature religious sentiment, as he called it. His first criterion is what I have in mind here. The mature religious sentiment is, and I'm going to stumble on this, well differentiated. No, I didn't. Wow. That is, it is not given to absolutes, but open to ambiguity. It can tolerate the messiness of life and the complexity of human beings. This much more nuanced approach enables me to see beneath the surface of another person. Human beings are very complex creatures, and we judge them uncritically at our peril. That capacity to see with discerning eyes is caught up in this simple little poem. I have shelled my youthful absolutes along with all my passionate lovers. Now I live with kindly relatives, so some more beautiful than others. The way we treat others has implications, not only in our human relations in the wider society, but also in the context of a church community, where we ought, one would think, be on our best behavior. Now listen to this and see if you see yourself. This is a little COVID challenge, but to see if you see yourself. A minister saw an unwillingness on the part of the newcomers and the old timers to greet each other at church. The Reverend decided to do something about it. She announced that beginning the next Sunday, there would be a time in the service for everyone to turn to those seated near them and greet them with a friendly hello. After the service, one member of the congregation turned to the person in the next back row and said cheerfully, "Good morning." The other stared back in shock and snapped, "That doesn't start until next Sunday." Well, it doesn't start next Sunday. It starts every Sunday. The rule is a simple one. Always be a little kinder than necessary. After all, you who have entered this temple have entered holy ground. It is not holy because of stained glass or ancient stone. It is holy because you are here. Amen and blessed be. Church exists to proclaim the gospel that each human being is infinitely precious, that the meaning of our lives lies hidden in our interactions with each other. We wish to be a church where we encounter each other with wonder, appreciation, and expectation, where we call out of each other strengths, wisdom, and compassion that we never knew we had.